Hello, world. This is the Know Your Place podcast, and this is episode 71. On this week's episode, I discuss early voting in the United States and the cultural habits I noticed around it. Stay tuned. Alright everybody, how's it going today? I'm Charles Altendorf, your fearless leader, podcaster. Sorry it's been a little longer between this episode. I don't know if I've hit my month goal or not, but anyway, it's been crazy and now here we are. Here we bleepin' are. This week's episode, I wanted to talk about sort of the early voting habits I noticed. I talked around to people and sort of what they felt about things and what happened around here in America. It's currently 6 p.m. Eastern on November 4th, and we still don't know who won. The margins are still pretty tight in battleground states. Some states have been called, some haven't. It's quite a mess. I gotta be frank with you. It's a mess, and I don't really know what to expect from here. I don't think there was a clear-cut winner yesterday in the old-fashioned sense, and that's it's kind of problematic. I think the country might have needed that, but that's all I'll say about that. I'm actually going to jump on a libertarian stream and talk some more about actual political strategy or what I feel about that kind of stuff. What I'm more here to talk about is straight up this pattern I noticed. So, there's a lot of prognostication that happened prior to this election, and, that's what prognosticators get paid to do, and apparently, now for two cycles in a row, they've been mostly off in, well, not mostly off, that might be an overgeneralization, but they've been kind of off in what they've thought about things. In particular facets. They do obviously get a lot of stuff right as well, but they are pretty off on some things. So, the first thing I want to talk about is going around, I noticed, when this concept first came up of the fact that we're going to have a bunch of people vote early, of course, generally speaking, my friends who were conservative and a good portion of my friends who were libertarian, they were pretty skeptical from the jump, right? I always hear people saying, the Dems are going to put in fraudulent ballots in the mail, and then, of course, it came out in some race in New Jersey there were some fraudulent ballots in the mail, but it wasn't, it was a race that was, it wasn't like a Republican-Democrat divide. It was just a nonpartisan race where this happened. But again, John Oliver, of course, made an episode where he then pointed out that, to do all this stuff to make a phony ballot, you got to break all these laws. And, to some extent, I guess I kind of agree with that. But, it's hard to say. There's stuff that just doesn't look right, and of course, the Republicans were caught red-handed putting in fake absentee ballots in North Carolina in 2016 last year, and many people believe it swayed, kind of some state house seats or something. The whole election for that seat had to be rerun, I think, if I remember correctly. So it's the problem I have with any of these type of accusations is, generally speaking, they take on a partisan attack. When really, I would say a tiny portion of fraud happens on either side at any given moment. And the problem with that is it doesn't really matter if you have a big time win, or even, for example, last year when Trump won the presidency, or last year, in 2016 when Trump won the presidency, while it wasn't a big win, it was a pretty commanding win in the Electoral College. So you at least could get the idea that a certain amount was The Midwest generally backed them or something. You got a concept of vision. So when people are coming here and start claiming that mail-in ballots were fraudulent, it took on a partisan tone, and that's just phony, And it's a problem now because, as we're seeing, this election has turned out to be extremely tight, far tighter than I could. Well, I actually, my prediction map was tight, so I wasn't. I guess I wasn't shocked. It's more like a melancholy disappointment at how tight it is. But why I say all this is, so generally speaking, I did have conservative friends who were like, yeah, I don't trust this early ballot stuff. It's all a Dem conspiracy. And I had liberal friends saying, you only want to deny early ballots because you want to disenfranchise voters so you win. And I got to be honest, that type of rhetoric just gets tiring. For me, personally, my personal experience, I enjoyed the fact in Indiana when I lived there that I had 3 weekends ahead of time I could have gone into the courthouse and voted. And generally speaking, both Republicans and Democrats respected that there because it's been on the books for several years. And I have no problem with that. And I started to notice as the election came closer, more of my conservative and libertarian friends were getting on board with being able to early go in. But what really shook me through a loop is I had some Democratic family members who actually were becoming skeptical of the mail vote. They didn't want to do it through the mail. They didn't trust it through the mail, which I found quite shocking. In full disclosure, I took the most risky route I guess I possibly could. I requested a mail-in ballot. I got a mail-in ballot, and then I turned it into a ballot box in town here. And the Secretary of State website showed were confirmed that they had received it, so I'm not really questioning it. I think it probably did arrive there. So it was interesting to see these attitudes be prior to the election, because that was sort of what, there were some moves that kind of shocked me in either direction, because again, the rhetoric just gets so insane. I again, to pull off a mass amount of fraud, what are you saying that happens when you're saying that that type of mass amount of fraud can happen? You're basically throwing a lot of shade at the system, and then when you actually get an election that's appearing to come in as tight as this one is, well, now we're reaching a situation where I'm almost concerned no one's going to respect whoever ends up being winner at whatever end of what point. It's kind of mortifying, really. But so then the trend that I started to notice, and this is where I could go on a complete rant and rail against the pollsters and how they incorrectly sample things all the time. And I don't understand why they can't just sample correctly, in most Midwestern states that it's probably, at least in Wisconsin anyway, they completely misrepresented. But it's typically 40-40 Dem Republican with 20 independent, or 45-45, 15, or just this last sample, I saw a poll that had Biden up 57 points in Wisconsin, and as you can see the current results we have, he won by less than a point. Oh, but it had Republicans sampled at only 29%. Now that's just not accurate. Why would you ever think that would be accurate? Anyway, but to carry on with the early voting discussion with that. So as time goes on, I'm most curious, like, who's gonna vote early? Like, will it really be an overwhelming amount of Democratic votes or early votes? Well, yes, in some ways it was, but I started to notice something really interesting. So, and I don't know where they were getting their data from on the NBC News website. They claim that it was done by Target Smart and a couple other commercial groups, but on there, not only did they had party registration breakdown of the early votes that were counted. And that's what I based my projections on for the whole race, actually. And I ended up being a lot closer than the pollsters. I granted, I had it, some different states took out different ways, but I was within a point on all of these states. So, I'm within the margin of error, so I'm not really too upset with my prediction. The thing that I noticed about this early voting registration breakdown partisanly was that in the North, in Wisconsin and Michigan, and Wisconsin and Michigan in particular, it actually had Republicans ahead in party registration and early votes. In Wisconsin, it ended up turning out being 5 points on election day, the last one I saw. And in Michigan, it was two, I think, the whole time. Now, that did not reflect sort of the nationwide trend that the pollsters were claiming. They're claiming you're gonna have all these early votes, and it's just gonna completely overwhelm. Yeah, sure, Trump will have day in people that come in and it'll completely overwhelm them. That didn't really shake out that way. I mean, it kind of did, but these final results in Wisconsin and Michigan are coming down to a point, and Pennsylvania may come down to a point, and nor so it just did not shake out that way. And I guess it's just in the attitude again in the upper Midwest, and I guess that bled over to Indiana. People aren't really that skeptical of early votes, or absentee voting. They're not as afraid that their vote won't be counted, but that did play out in the South, for example. Or like, because in Florida, Trump was behind 3 or 4 points in early votes before the election, and now he's clearly won Florida. So there is there I believe I guess it is a thing that, and this may play a bit. I think the reason why this plays such a big deal in the South with the mistrust of coming in and early voting is a general mistrust of old corruption in the government anyway, right? I mean, if you look at the classic trope of the old Southern politician, right? It's one of total corruption, right? Especially like here in Kentucky, for example, where, we've literally had people, we've had convicted felons of vote rigging be reelected in some of our smaller local races. I mean, there was one KET documentary I saw, and this lady was sitting in her house and they were interviewing her, and she's like, "Oh yeah, they're paving the roads again. Guess that means it's re-election season." So that's probably it. I mean, that I think that's if people want to know what that really boiled down to with some of that, yes, it was it is a distinct fear. It's not even something to do with like coronavirus or any of the other issues or these people loving Trump or whatever. It boils down, I think, in the southern region to a complete fear of their vote being tricked or stolen or something done wrong to it. And in some ways it's not illegitimate. It's really not, because if you've seen your whole life sort of sketchy things go on by your government, well, you're going to be a bit mistrusting and you're going to want to physically show up. So yeah, that's what I think about that. And I think, in the northern areas like Wisconsin and Michigan, they were less afraid to vote ahead because they knew that, there was at least a certain amount of trust there in the technology or the government or the system to vote. And that's why you probably won't see as large a margins between in-day and absentee votings as you saw in the South. Pennsylvania, I still can't explain what's going on there. We'll see. The results are slowly coming in. But yeah, so that's what I think about it. It probably stems from a Southern American general mistrust of government. Not to mention the fact I didn't even say a mistrust of the election process, but just federal government in general. I mean, there's people out in sort of the rural parts of Kentucky here that like they don't trust census workers. They don't trust any type of federal agent of any kind, And again, this isn't and people misjudge it. Like they generally, of course, there's this trope of it being like a backward thing, right? Like, oh, well, these people are backwards people. That's why they don't trust these things. No, it comes from a general fear of early day corruption that's never really totally been rinsed from the society here, and I don't really know if it can be. So anyway, that's my thoughts on early voting. Thanks for listening, and keep following the podcast. It's been really fun, and hopefully I'll have something for you all soon. Thanks.
Check out the Know Your Place podcast on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/knowyourplacepodcast, all one word, or on Facebook at facebook.com/knowyourplacepodcast, all one word. And we will be coming soon to YouTube and iTunes, and maybe another social media platform near you. Special thanks to my wife, Sarah, and Jay Graff for the riff.